My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by my good friend, Lynn Canfield, who is the executive director of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board. So welcome to the show, Lynn. You know this is my last show, and I had to have somebody on this show that I really, really respect and admire a great deal, and so that person is you.
Oh, thank you.
So get close to your microphone.
Okay, get a little closer.
Yeah, there you go. So we've had quite a lengthy relationship.
Yes.
Over the years. I've been a fan of the CCDDB and coming to meetings long before I was serving on the board, but I just had to resign my position as president of the Developmental Disabilities Board because we are relocating our family to Fort Collins, Colorado. And so we're having to leave this area, which is really, really hard.
Yes.
I'd like to take you with me. I think you do.
And are you going to miss being president? I'm going to miss you being president.
It's not a bad gig.
Okay,
I don't mind. It's all right. I think it's an interesting thing to do, and I think it's a useful thing to do. Just like being on the school board.
Right.
I was on the school board for 8 years in Mahomet. So, and that's worth doing. You don't get a nickel in pay.
Right.
But you have the satisfaction of knowing that you're doing something worthwhile.
I don't think you even got any good snacks.
Probably.
Maybe a glass of water.
Maybe. Well, for those people who don't know about the DD board and the mental health board, why don't you kind of explain the work of those organizations?
Well, they're an interesting invention of Illinois. They're optional. They're each optional boards, so not every county, not every community has a local mental health authority or a local DD authority. But they're established through two separate state statutes, and mental health boards may be older. Our mental health board is a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
This was around the same time as the Federal Community Mental Health Act. Illinois passed a Community Mental Health Act to establish, so that a community could establish its own board. And it's really two things. It's not just a fund to be spent by trustees of the fund. It's also intended as a planning authority to advise the state.
Mm.
And that part of it really over the years has become very difficult to do. So it's not really, we don't really function that way. There's the same authorities for the Developmental Disabilities Board, but their scope, their mission is a little narrower. It's really focused on people with intellectual developmental disabilities, whereas the Mental Health Board has a larger target population.
I mean, we're talking about people who are substance abuse users and people who have, all kinds of homelessness,
right,
and all those things are,
right,
impacted.
Mental health conditions, but developmental disabilities too are under the mental health board's authorities. So before the DD board existed, the mental health board had an interest in developmental disabilities. And this actually goes all the way back to when they were formed. We moved offices this year, so I went through a whole lot of archived files and found that a lot of the things the Mental Health Board was interested in 1972 are still top priority today.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
They have not solved any problems?
I mean, that's a great question.
Let's talk a little bit about what those areas of concern are. What are the things that they are most concerned about with the Mental Health Board?
The things that go all the way back to the beginning?
Yeah, that go back to the beginning.
Intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Okay.
That's one.
Yeah.
Services for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
telephone services. So it's interesting because I didn't realize that that went back that far, mm-hmm. that we were looking for information and referral through call services back then. That's good. But, you know, again, it's hadn't been sought for, like, resource information is still a challenge in a community like this. Mm-hmm. So that was one. And then also youth opportunities and positive mental health supports for youth. That was one of the big ones.
That's just becoming then. More and more critical. I mean, as time passes.
Truly.
So that's an interesting one.
Yeah. That keeps, and it rises to the top in other measures of health in this county. Champaign mm-hmm. County especially has some needs, you know, needs to improve some of the health factors for young people.
Yeah, and for those people who aren't aware who are listening today, how does the Mental Health Board and the DD Board in the same way support change in those areas?
They have to be careful because both of them are based on local taxes. Mm-hmm. They have to be somewhat careful not to purchase things that residents are already purchasing through their state taxes or federal taxes. Mm-hmm. So to stay a little bit outside of what is otherwise available through state and federal funding. So in a time like this, like in 2025, a lot of things are up in the air that weren't for a long time. So our job of finding the gaps was a lot easier. Right now, it looks like we're looking at a lot more gaps, at least for the moment.
Who knows what could arise in the next few months because things, you know, based on executive orders, keep shifting and changing and, you know.
Right. So we can't even really define, like, how big the needs are. But when, I mean, I'm not answering your question anymore. Now I'm going to just go ramble. Here we go. When mental health or disability support needs increase, it doesn't mean that the local funds will increase by an appropriate amount to meet the needs. Mm-hmm. So that because the funds are based on taxes. So the amount of funding that we have available in a given year really has more to do with the economic health of this county. So, you know,
if everything's going well and the economics are strong, there's a lot of money to be spent on services. But what I'm getting from you is, you know, if the state pays for it,
or if the federal government pays for it,
then the DD board and the mental health board do not.
Right. Basically, yes, we would want to stay out of it. And so to say, like, there are opportunities to fill gaps. That's one great use of both of these funds. Maybe to pay for services for people who are waiting to become eligible for those other. So that's a different kind of gap.
Mm-hmm.
But then also to innovate. And I think this is something that a lot of board members would like to be able to do more of. But innovation is difficult because we can't provide any of these services ourselves. We just dream of what we want.
Yeah, you have the dream and you have to find somebody who can do that.
Right.
You know, who can implement that dream.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of providers are not able to pay their staff so well that they are, you know, able to try every new thing. So we have to meet people halfway and, like, be realistic about what the service providers are ready to do. And then maybe we challenge a little bit, like the big challenge of recent years, which I think people like, whether it's easy to meet or not, is to really focus on personal agency or self-determination or, like, true person-centered planning. Like, we know a lot of the models and a lot of the language around this, but the idea is that the expert about services is the person participating in purchasing the services.
Right.
Not me, not their parents, not the service provider. And it's just kind of hard to turn the whole system around like that.
It is. When you're as a provider are used to making all the decisions and now you're told that you have to do a person-centered plan for mm-hmm. an individual person, you do it. you have him in the room, you talk right. to him, have him answer the questions. That file goes into a folder, into the filing cabinet, and they go on doing the right. same thing that they've always done before because they're understaffed
right.
and they're underpaid. And, you know, everyone who listens to this program knows that Illinois is 48th out of 50 states when it comes yes. to providing services for people.
It's so shameful.
That, I know, it is shameful. Yeah. What makes that happen? How does that happen in a state as rich as Illinois?
And I think also on the list of barriers that you just named, we have to put systems are slow to change. Publicly funded systems are especially slow to change.
Oh, boy, do we know that.
Right. Like everywhere Medicaid goes comes scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and stigma. So I think we have to really take seriously public attitudes, and work on those. And those are really hard things to work on too. Like I don't know. This is another. I think I forgot the question already because I want to go down this road.
Why is Illinois so bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean I don't know. If this is something everybody's familiar with, but I believe it. We've all been saying it a long, long time, and I still believe it's true. I don't think we are missing the boat. I think it's because of our attachment to institutional care. Until we let go of institutional care, which is expensive and not, for the most part, not reimbursed by a federal match,
mm-hmm.
the state throws a lot more money into institutional care than it needs to. And it's been very timid about fully funding community-based care, so little things like the people providing the service are paid much better for institutional care than they are for community-based care. That's just in the
right.
rates.
They have unions,
right?
And they get union wages. And people who work as personal support workers for somebody that wage is, you know, not a union wage. So that's a problem
yeah.
as well.
So if you have a choice. If it's really a choice, the well-paying job doing that over-service or the poor-paying job doing the service that maybe more appropriately fits a person and mm-hmm. maybe more satisfying on a personal level, you might have to choose the money. Although I think that there are people working in the SODCs and the institutional care who it's very difficult for them because of the maltreatment that they witness.
Yeah.
So it's hard to work in a climate where people are dying or abused or neglected. And this is another problem in Illinois. Like we have not really been able to make those institutions safe.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, the other pathetic thing in my mind is the fact that there is a waiting list that people have to stay on for sometimes, you know, 2, 3, up to 10 years, some people have been on the waiting list. And for a while, they said the prioritization of urgency of needs list mm-hmm. was only, you know, to determine who needed the support the most. And now they've just gone strictly to who's been on the list the longest. But there are states where there is no list. There is no list in Colorado, where we're moving to. And, you know, it was right. a shocker to me when we first went and talked to a provider there. Is, you know, so what's the time frame for services? When they said, well, there is going to be a little bit of a wait. And I'm thinking in terms of years, and they said, 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks because that's how long it takes to switch from Illinois Medicaid to Colorado mm-hmm. Medicaid. And after that, we'll be able to do all kinds of things.
Wow.
So shocker that there right. and people in Illinois just kind of assume that everybody in the country is sort of in the same boat that they are. And it's not necessarily mm-hmm. the case.
Right. And different I've envied other states for their superior DD systems. And then found out about problems they were having too. And
so, you know, yeah. nothing is yeah. perfect, and yeah. and there is still a need for advocacy, no matter where you are.
Right.
And
a whole good system can topple fast too. There is one state that has an enviable system that I've learned so much from, and I remember that At some point, they were talking about lowering their rates because other states didn't pay as high a rates as they did for community-based services. Like, that's horrible, right?
Yeah.
But then now they have a new threat, which is they're talking about eliminating property taxes, and their whole system is based on property taxes. So that's...
As is your system, right? Mental Health Board and DD Board are both property tax-based.
They are. Right. We have very little other revenue. And we could take other revenue, but it's very hard to do that, and we don't have sort of the basic structure to go seeking other funds. So we've just tried to keep it, you know, pretty narrow and just encourage other people to go seeking the funds that become available.
Yeah.
People who are qualified already. Yeah.
So what kinds of things do the... We talked a little bit about services for the Mental Health Board. What are some of the things that the DD Board provides? Because, you know, group homes and those kinds of things do get state funding.
Right.
What are the things that the DD Board can do to embellish the system a little bit?
And it's tricky because just when you think you've found the thing the state is not promising to do, they put it on the list of things they're going to promise to do, even though
they, like, don't really do it.
They're not going to fund it adequately to actually do it, so keeping us in that risky zone. So a lot of the DD Board funds are supporting services that are similar to those funded by the state, but for people who are still waiting to be selected for state funding. So that's one category. There are a few people who a long, long time ago, before the DD Board, when the DD Board was first funded, or first established and funded, who were receiving services and didn't have the documentation because their school records had been destroyed. So there were a few people like that who continued to be supported in what would otherwise be state-funded services.
Yeah.
Who would have been eligible if their records hadn't been destroyed. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's insanity.
And we're kind of back to that now. We're seeing that people are selected from PUNS. They're, you know, the state is saying, oh, let's get you hooked up with services now. But it's taking a really long time to get people fully into those services because they don't have adequate records, or the records were destroyed, or they need an updated psychological. So this is a new crisis. But we can pay for some of that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then there's this other category that I think people find maybe more exciting, and that's, let's try a different model of service, or let's try something a little more flexible. But, for example, there's a transportation program that's been extremely successful, and each year they ask for more money so that they can serve more people at more times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And it's not to say that the public transit in this community is not good enough, because it's great, but there are some things it doesn't do and can't do that this more customized transportation program can do.
Right. So if you live in Champaign-Urbana, using the bus system and that's pretty easy to learn and to do. But if you live in one of the outlying areas, this new transportation system, which we've talked about on this show, Community Choices is the organization that runs that, and they've been doing it successfully for several years now, and keep trying to do better, which has been a great asset to lots of folks.
And there are gaps even for people who live in the cities, just that, you know, it's Saturday or Sunday and the bus routes are completely different now.
Mm-hmm.
And some trips take a lot longer because of different transfers on the weekends. And so if we really want people to get out and enjoy their community, we're asking them to be on the bus for 2 hours
to
do it. So this program can help with some of that, too.
Well, we discovered that when the expo was going on this October, the bus doesn't run to the mall anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where the expo was.
Right.
So that really put a lot of people into, you know, high gear to try and solve that problem.
It was kind of scary.
Yeah, it was. Yep. Plus the weather kind of stunk day, too.
First icky day.
Yes, ever.
Yeah. So that's another thing that the DD Board and the Mental Health Board pay for is that expo. The it flashed on me like a type of programming that's very important to me that doesn't, we're not spending a lot of money on it, but I think we're getting a lot back for it, is it's through some of the agencies that are providing other services. There are some supports for learning to advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff, that's where the big payoff comes, I think. Just having folks come to our board meetings and tell us every once in a while what they think about what's going on and what could be better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just important that they can do that, that they're feeling comfortable to do that.
Yeah. And not only with us, but in other organizations around town as well, which I think is amazingly great. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So you have the grant proposals are going to be rolling in here soon. When did when did it open for?
It doesn't open until December 19th.
Oh, so not for a couple more weeks
yet. We actually need people to stay out of the system until December 19th so that we can test it to make sure things. And so when I open it for our staff to test it, sometimes people wander in and start working on applications, but their work will be lost because the system is not able to process anything until we start December 19. We have to be able to test it because there's always some little change or things that we've lost track of that need to be improved. We found today that we're requiring a signature on a form that can't be signed. Okay, so that's going to take a minute to straighten out, right?
Yeah, the technical stuff.
Like, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but if I were applying for funding and I ran into that, that would be very frustrating. So people can start working on these December 19th. We'll have it working perfectly by then, right?
Well, if it's an agency that is new, then they have to get approval to even get into the system at all, right?
Well, they just register.
They register for it.
It's more of a self-assessment process. Mm-hmm. Once they're done registering, they'll get a password to allow them into the application side, and then they can do that. We're not going through it and saying yes or no. It's more like, if you meet all these requirements and you feel good about moving forward, go. And they have until February 2 to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a relatively short amount of time, a little over a month, but.
Yeah.
Not unlike other granting agencies.
Yeah.
So what are the types of grants that you expect to see? And then after that, what are the types that you would like to see?
I mean,
if you could wish for anything.
Yeah, I am a fan of continued services. I think it's important not to change things so much for the people who are engaged in services.
I believe that too.
But it really should be about them.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see improvement in what they're getting. And we want to see things moving toward what people are looking for. But we don't know what that is until people can say what they're looking for. So that's the very first part. Like, what are people saying they want?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you as an agency propose to get to that? So I think we've been asking for those kind of things for a while, and as more people who engage in services feel comfortable to speak for themselves, then hopefully we get closer to what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people have talked about wanting more friends, wanting to give back to the community, so it's not always about jobs, although those are really important.
Mm-hmm.
But to not get stuck in a job that you hate. Like, these are...
That's where I really noticed the biggest change over the years since I've been involved with the DD board and being able to help make those decisions, is that things have improved significantly over the past... How long have I been here? We've been in town for 38 years.
Okay.
And... It started out where there was literally nothing but day programs and sheltered workshops and group homes, big group homes.
Right.
And ICFs, you know, any intermediate care facilities and those type of things. It was all isolated services. Yeah. And now the agencies are expanding and moving toward things that are really based on the interests and the needs and the desires of the people that they serve. And that is gigantic in my mind.
I love those programs too. I don't, you know, it's, you can build it and then hopefully they'll come. Like there's a program that seeks to connect people to community opportunities that match their interests, not create a special group out of other clients of the agency, but find community resources. And so that's such a great idea. But we also learn from when it doesn't happen in the numbers that were hoped for. We learn from why. Like there's a new problem. People don't always feel safe going out into the community. Like they might be afraid of being bullied. Mm-hmm. They might be afraid of violence. And so they might have a group they want to join, but getting there is now the issue.
Supporting the person to be able to do the things that they want to do. And if they want to go out for an evening or if they want to do something on a weekend, you know, a lot of stuff that when you're living your life doesn't happen between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Right. And so if the agencies that we're funding are not able to stay fully staffed, it becomes even harder to meet those individualized needs. But that's the goal. And I'm glad that you see it getting better because I do feel that way, too. Like progress is, you know, it's a little
conditional
slow.
Better. I mean, it's better in this area because we are lucky enough to have the DD board and the mental health board here that are keeping an eye on those problems, that there are so many areas of the state that don't have that.
That's true. You know what I've heard, too, from other people outside of Champaign County is about a strength that others identify of Champaign County. And we're not funding any of these right now, but the strength that others identify is the family support networks, the people who've learned how to help each other as they seek resources for their kids. That those people are very well connected and doing really good work and getting in the advocacy spaces. I mean, you're certainly one of them, but it's put Champaign County on the map.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's some really awesome people who live and work and advocate here. So there will never be a shortage of people that will be coming in to tell you what to do, I'm sure.
Well, I hope not, because we need that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So we only have like another minute. Is there anything that you want people to know about the work that you're doing that they maybe wouldn't otherwise know? This is really an opportunity to share that information with folks.
You know, obviously, like coming to board meetings and giving us input during public input is super cool. It's really helpful, even if you don't see the impact for a while. We'll use information. It's important to us to meet the needs of the community as presented to us by the community. But the other thing, maybe just generally, is like if I could wish for one thing in this world, it would be that we start to trust people who have disabilities. Just trust them to know what they want. Right?
Yes. The awesome advice.
We could get away from institutional care if we trusted people.
More little thing, a piece of information is that people can come to these meetings on Zoom.
Oh, yes.
So if you can't get to the Scott Bennett building in Urbana on that particular day, you can just join from your computer and you can learn a lot from doing that.
And if you can't join, you can always watch it later.
Oh, that's right. And is it on YouTube then after?
Well, we're having to move everything to YouTube. But all this is best done through the county's website. We have a page on the county's website where all of our meetings are announced in advance and then archived. And the link to the Zoom option is there in the agendas.
Yeah. So just go to the county website and find the DD board or mental health board, and you can connect to those meetings and see them after the fact or join live.
It sounds like
either
a treasure
way,
hunt.
But it does. I know. Well, government websites are kind of a nightmare anyway, but, you know, it's not too bad.
Okay, good.
So thank you so much for joining me today, Lynn Canfield, Executive Director of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Developmental Disability Board. We share the staff between those two boards, which makes for even greater work on your part, but very much efficient.
It's a great stuff. Team.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio to share ideas.